Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is June 22nd, 2017, 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I want to thank you again. I always like to start the show now with thanking you for joining us. I really appreciate you listening, actually, and sharing my show with your friends and talking about us. And I really appreciate the fact that you listen to the different people I have or listen to my ideas and think about it and figure out how you can impact what's going on, because we all have an impact. So if we do nothing, that's an impact. At this point, most of us that are listening to this radio show know that life is not going to be better in 50 years. You know, it's going to be a little bit harder because of the environment that we have created. I guess they call this the anthropocentric age, which means it's that our environment is caused by human activity. So this morning, I do not have a guest. I did want to talk to you about the fact that Barry's going to be with you, Barry Prince, tomorrow. He was supposed to take over Mondays and things happened. But he will be coming on the radio live tomorrow. I will not be joining him. Hopefully he'll be able to take over Fridays. He needs another radio venue and I need a day off, so it seemed to work pretty well. I did want to read you a poem. It's been a really long time since I just read a poem. And you know, one of my favorite poetry books is called The Way of Life. It's according to Lao Tzu, translated by Witter Bynner. This is number 33. This is actually pretty good. Knowledge studies others. Wisdom is self-known. Muscle masters brothers. Self-mastery is bone. Content need never borrow. Ambition wanders blind. Vitality cleaves to the marrow, leaving death behind. I like that. So you can interpret that how you like, but I thought I'd start the show out with that. And I thought I'd go back to what I was doing maybe a year and a half ago when I first started, almost 2 years ago now. And I thought I'd read some nuclear alerts because there is a lot of stuff going on. And then as I was poking around, I was looking at these regulations. This perked my ears up. This is public comment open. It's closed for comment on 6/23/2017. Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station, Entergy Nuclear Operations, Inc., consideration of approval of transfer of license and conforming application. So there's all these application amendments in here. So this is another one. I'm just going to read you the title before we dig into this information because it made my hair raise. They are moving along. This is considering a rulemaking related document. Emergency preparedness requirement for small modular reactors. They're moving ahead with the small modular reactors. They're called SMRs, and you'll hear them described as sleek, modern. The waste is, there's no waste because the waste stays on site. So what they do is they build a footprint about the same as a regular nuclear power station. But instead of creating two megaliths that take 15 years to build, I think his first name is Jose Reyes from Oregon State University Nuclear Brain Facility, where they give us all our nuclear lies for the United States, at least. He came up with this idea. Well, why don't we just build a bunch of little ones? So he designed a footprint where you will build 12 small reactors, four rows of three. And the concept is that they're built halfway in the ground. The waste stays in the ground. It's already buried, so you don't have to worry about transport. So it doesn't go into the environment. And you only build out as many as you need. So if you build one, and then if your environment, you know, the cities that you're servicing need more energy, you build another one. So the downside to that is it's still nuclear. They're still digging out uranium out of the ground. They're still doing horrible things. I personally am 100% against nuclear. I think it is the worst thing that we have ever done with our entire planet ever. So this is the other one, and this is a very interesting one because I hope to get Donna Gilmore back on before this date 7-6, and she can talk about this. List of approved spent fuel storage casks, NAC International Certificate of Compliance 1031 Amendment 7. So, wow, man, they're moving on. So there's no generic communications, and then draft regulatory guidelines for public comment says this. Qualification of safety-related vent acid lead storage batteries for nuclear power plants. Application for nuclear power plants. So this is draft regulatory guidelines. I'll have to dig into that one. That public comment is 9/18, by the way. Let's see if we can open it. Probably not. These things don't open very easily. They're such a pain in the neck. Draft new reg series publication. Proposed revisions to conduct of operations. Wonder what that says. That's close 7-5. Knowledge and ability catalog for nuclear power plant operators. Advanced boiling water reactors. Wow. So they are moving ahead with that. This is stunning. These people, you know, this is the thing. It's like yesterday when I was talking with Maya about CERCO, right? The people that are running CERCO, these people that are running these nuclear facilities, they 100% believe they are helping humanity. I could not believe the glazed look in their eyes when I saw them face to face at that hearing that I testified in Salem about a month ago. They were young students. The only people that the three witnesses had on behalf of nuclear in the entire room of maybe 50 people, there was about four students, maybe five students from Oregon State University Nuclear Department. And one farmer who I think probably had a vested interest in this, because my guess would be is he's going to get a contract. So I'm going to give the number out, by the way, if anybody wants to give us a call. It's 718-717-8106. And if you have Skype, my Skype name is Lonnie, L-O-N-N-I-E dot Clark, C-L-A-R-K, 7, the number 7. So it's Lonnie.Clark7. So if you send me something, I think it'll pop up and I could just add you in. Or you can just call me. But I'm going to keep going. Thought I'd just throw that out to you. So let's look at these notification events for today. Let's see what today says. Postulated shutdown, unanalyzed condition, command. You know, we are running on a thin freaking wire with these nuclear power plants. This is so unbelievable. We're living on the edge of catastrophe every day. It's just beyond comprehension. And these people, they must go home and drink a bottle of booze every night to deal with the fact that they know they're covering up. I just don't know how they can manage themselves. No wonder opioids are out of control in this country. It's sad. I heard this, that opioid death is like one of the leading causes of death in our country is opioid death. And that is something that could be controlled by the AMA, the American Murder Association. And I consider the opioid epidemic part of their murder spree because they don't care. They just want to sell, sell, sell. Just like Comanche Peak in Texas, unanalyzed condition. It says it's not an emergency, but listen to what this says. Postulated fire event could adversely impact shutdown safety equipment. During the review of an electrical circuit coordination calculation to support an ongoing revision of the fire safe shutdown analysis, a lack of appropriate circuit protection coordination was identified in the coordination of electrical protective devices on 11 VAC electrical panels operating in bypass mode of operation. Now, you know what? Larry Woods is the kind of man that can understand that the first way around. I kind of get the gist of it. I'm going to keep going so as not to slow us down here. One more of these electrical panels could be, one or more of these electrical panels could be lost for various 10 CFR Appendix R3G2 fires outside. What does that mean? Could be lost for various fires outside the control room due to circuit coordination issues. This could adversely affect safe shutdown equipment and potentially cause the loss of ability to conduct a safe shutdown as required by 10 CFR Appendix R. Immediate compensatory actions are being taken to establish or confirm already existing fire watches in the area of the fire areas containing the associated circuits. So they're not saying that there was a fire. What they're saying is, they have equipment that can't help the cold shutdown, so that's what's going to happen. The power operation is 100%, but if they had to do a cold shutdown, they're in the case of a fire, they're not so sure that their circuitry would just survive. I mean, maybe the nuclear industry really is planning on having Texas drown. Maybe that's really what it is they know that, you know, Antarctica is melting and the water is coming. You know, when we first saw Waterworld, we didn't think it could actually be true. But, you never know. It's almost like they've given us little presents and tell us this stuff all the time. June 21st, I'll go backwards a little bit. Check this out. Because then I'll know if I've already read it. And I'll have read the... When I first started, I used to start from the earliest date to the most current. And now I read backwards because we know that they actually have updated reports, updated note, update, like our first update. This one must be pretty serious. Power reactor in Braidwood, Illinois, non-emergency. Off-site notification of other unspecified requirement. This sounds like those hearings that we heard yesterday. Sorry, sir, but we can't talk to you about that. Sorry, what did you think about this? Did the president ever tell you to, have they ever talked to you about Russia? I can't talk to you about that, sir. Actually, you know what did come out of yesterday's hearing? Is that the president has never asked any of the people that testified, his current people, this thing, he doesn't believe it at all. He thinks it's all a made up, 100% he believes it's made up story. It's really unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. This is really amazing. Okay, so let's see what they say. The very last one was updated on 6/20 from Mike Nolan to Bethany CRE. It says the report contains a follow-up report. What was the unspecified? On June 11th, a chemistry technician reported water from the circulating water blowdown valve building. I guess they have a circulating water blowdown CWBD, that's their acronym for it, valve building, and had been pumped out onto the ground outside the CWBD building during the maintenance activity. The sump in the CWBD building has a sump pump discharge hose that has been routed outside the ground near the outfall canal rather than to be permitted to the outfall path. Okay. Insider language here. Water sample analysis results confirms the presence of tritium. The sump pump discharge hose was rerouted to the required outfall on June 11th. The discharge flow did not leave the site boundary before reaching the permitted discharge pathway. I wonder where the permitted, what is the difference? The permitted discharge pathway. What does that mean? I guess we should not be surprised, right? We know what they're doing. We know they're pouring tritium into all of our waters. I can't read this, you guys. We got to go to Plan B. I'm going to go look at Hanford, and I'm going to look at Indian Point, because those two plants stretch across our country, and they are the two worst things that we have going on in our country. I think it is not reasonable to believe that we can pour leaks into our system and not harm our people. And we have been doing it for 80 years. And we wonder why we have mass animal deaths, which I should actually pull that out too. Okay, so groundwater monitoring and tritium at Indian Point. Groundwater monitoring and tritium at Indian Point is 100%. Okay, let's see what this says. Let me read this. Information on groundwater monitoring. This was only, check this out. This has been updated April 8th, 2016. So I guess this is just the ongoing, nothing's changed here. And this is by Dr. Kimberly Kierfott, K-E-A-R-F-O-T-T, professor of nuclear engineering and radiological science at the University of Michigan, conducted an independent study on the elevated tritium levels found at the groundwater monitoring wells at Indian Point in 2016. So this is the lady, she's the Catherine Higley of the East Coast, right? She's going to write all the lies and say, don't worry, keep drinking that tritium, folks. Mm-hmm. So your kids getting cancer, it's not related at all to nuclear. So don't worry about it. We're going to build those SMRs and you won't even see it. And you'll be just like, they'll be just like me. They'll think they're like little observatories. So unbelievable. Okay. So it's 818. If anybody wants to give us a call, 718-717-8106. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep reading. Information on groundwater monitoring and program and elevated tritium at Indian Point. I'm just dumbfounded that this has not been updated since then, April 8, 2016. The casual analysis of the tritium event has identified that the direct cause is the operation of a temporarily installed reverse osmosis filtration unit that was in use at Unit 2 for approximately 2 weeks in January 2016. The finding is confirmed by these facts, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's go down to see why they're telling us it's safe, perfectly safe. In addition to the event analysis and ongoing monitoring, we are acting on advice from the NRC. Acting on advice from the NRC. Now, that is dangerous. By extracting water at a monitoring well to lower the localized concentration of tritium, strengthening the detection capacity. We are also installing a groundwater extraction system that had originally been planned for late this year. Well, I wonder if they have finished that. They're installing a groundwater extraction system. So they're going to break down into the groundwater so that we have what? Fresh water? Oh my God, they are really intentionally killing our water. When we talk about the water protectors, folks, we're not going to be able to protect our water. They're putting tritium into it directly. We are keeping local governments, members of Congress, regulatory agencies, and other stakeholders informed through a regular series of conference calls with technical experts. So you know what I say to the people of New York City and to all the little boroughs inside of New York City? You really, really must. And in fact, everyone that is within the sound of my voice in the United States who do not have already currently passed community rights, you must organize and you must petition. You must walk door to door, get enough signatures, and get your community rights and your community passed so that we can fight these people legally in court. Because until then, all we have to do, our only right is just what the NRC does. We have a right to talk about their permits. We have a right to talk about their licensing. We do not have a right to say, we don't want you. So I strongly encourage people to go to www.celdf.org. That's Community Environment. It's called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. And they are out of Pennsylvania. And if you want to contact them and write them an email, it's info@celdf.org. And I'm going to tell you what, this is important because I can be on this radio every single day of the year for the next 30 years. I would prefer that we actually start having different ideas other than we got to figure out how to stop them. I'd rather be reporting on how we have stopped them, how we have shut down the licensing. I mean, they're going to build a nuclear power plant in Virginia, folks, and they are going to build these SMRs, and they are going to allow nuclear waste to leak everywhere. If you don't think Rick Perry could care less, Donald Trump could care less about, this is the problem with letting the maniacs in. With nuclear waste, it's not like we can come in afterwards and take care of it and sweep it up like we've done with every other catastrophe that the Republicans have created. I mean, this is the thing. They have no idea how to run economies. They run them into the ground. When they say they're conservatives, no, they're not. Ronald Reagan was not a conservative. He spent like a drunk. So did Bush. Both Bushes. They're aggressive warmongers who use people's money and lie to the taxpayers because people don't check the facts. For goodness sakes, like Donald Trump saying he created 500,000 jobs. That's ridiculous. That came in the first month of his inauguration. He didn't create 500,000 jobs. Barack Obama created 500,000 jobs that landed on the registry for the first month he came in. He's riding on the skirt tails of Barack Obama while spitting in his face and calling him a sneaky liar and not believing information on the Russians. And why isn't he believing information on the Russians? We know why. Because he has huge ties to the Russians. His sons have already spilled the beans. This is all tied in. This is the thing. Like even yesterday when I was talking about Serco, I mean, I was so grateful to meet Maya and understand this thing about Serco because it really ties it in. Between Democracy School and Serco, we see exactly what has happened to the so-called free world. We're not free. You know, we're not even a world. We're compartmentalized. Our bombs right now are dropping bombs on somebody in the Middle East, and we don't even know it. We get to live here in relative peace. The worst things we have to do is live with the anxiety of wondering how many black people are the cops going to kill this week? You know, how many people are they going to roust around out of their, you know, arrest? How many parents who have raised their kids here in the United States and caused traumatic trauma for American families? It's so outrageous. I do not get this whole idea of people who say, you know that we cannot have any of this amnesty. I don't think we even need amnesty, personally. I think we need to just let people come in. We need to open up about 15 or 30 more offices to let people immigrate and let them pay us $5,000 a pop instead of paying the coyotes. Like, that's outrageous. Let's shut down that business. But I think we don't, because it's probably run by like Mitt Romney or somebody stupid like that. Yeah, I think Mitt Romney is not a very nice person. No offense, Mitt. I know he thinks he's a good guy. It's like the men that run this circle thing. You can read their propaganda and you can see they really believe their line of lies. They totally believe it. So let's see what Hanford has to say about leaks now, after post the big big breakdown that they had last few weeks ago. Hanford farm leak assessment report. When was this done? Here we go. Wow. I want to thank you guys for joining us and hanging in there. And I encourage you to look around on our radio station and find television shows that, I mean, radio shows that you cannot get anywhere else. And I can't say I always agree with some of the hosts and their point of view, but we don't have to agree. But the information is very interesting. Like, we all have these different ideas. Like, Maya calls herself an anarchist, to be honest. When she said that, the hair raised on the back of my head. I hate identifying as an anarchist because those are the people that the cops beat up the worst. Some lady on Twitter actually, so this thing is, this report is so not going to go. Some lady on Twitter said, well, I made a comment about that there are no good cops. And I don't think there are good cops anymore, because if there was good cops, we would not be allowing the bad cops to be in their forces. And we're talking about the bad cops. They know who they are and they cover up for them. And like that guy who murdered that, you know, right on camera, Philando or whatever his name is, that black man that just got killed right in front of his kid and his wife for nothing. Because the cop was been trained. They're trained to hate black people. It's like insane. So no, I'm, if something happens in my life and I need a help, first thing I do is run to my neighbors. If I need help, I'm calling the fire department. The last people I will call personally is the police officers. Like, they'll be the last ones. So this is very interesting. They do not have an update on the leaks. They have a huge page assessment report. SX Farm leak assessment. Let's see if this one can get opened. Wow. These people are seriously, you know, did you guys read that story about Hanford, where in Hanford, one of the ladies got a, she basically got demoted because she would not change a report from the Department of Energy and to say that they were handling it incorrectly. See if I can just pull up this up. DOE contractor. So that's 2011. I read it on another computer, so I can't find my history here. But the gist of the story, it's the same old thing in Hanford. If you speak out, you get, she's suing them because she would not change a report that said that they were safer than they actually are. So instead of that, and she want, they want, what they wanted to do is blame the national laboratory. They wanted to blame the Livermore National Laboratory for some work. And she refused to sign off. She's a 30-year veteran of the program. So they fired her and put her, they demoted her. They did not fire her. They put her in a basement in a room with no work and no windows and nothing to do all day long. Yeah, and so she decided to sue them, and she's about to lose her job, actually. That's what the story was about. But this is standard fare. This is what these people do. This is just exactly how they operate, you know. And John Gottman talked about it in his book, Poison Power. Let's see. So, we have an obligation here for all of us to move into how we can change things. People listening to this radio show listen because they want to find out about what's going on with nuclear and what people are doing about it. And I do want to say this, that I am going to be making a pretty strong effort over the summer to be developing new relationships and having some other people. I've reached out to Lloyd Marbette and Dan Meeks, who wrote the legislation to stop the nuclear industry here in Oregon a long, long time ago. They both agreed to be on the show. I haven't had time to schedule them, so I'm hoping that will come up. I'm still pursuing an interview with Cherie of that documentary that I kept raving about, Crying Earth Rising Up. And if you guys can find a copy of it, please do see it. It will tell you everything that happens within the uranium markets. So, and I can't really, on the Hanford site, folks, it's pretty, there's actually no updates. Let's just see if we just put in a different type of search, because leaks came up with nothing. They have a big 50-page assessment report from evidently a couple of years ago, but nothing new. So I'm not going to even bother with it. And let's see if they actually have any links. If they have something that says outreach. What is the outreach? Contacting newsroom. Nope. Hanford cleanup. Let's see what they're telling us on Hanford cleanup. This is the problem with Hanford, is they're not going to clean it up. It's like saying we're going to clean up Fukushima. We're not cleaning up Fukushima. All they do is move the dirt from one thing to the other and manage the disasters, because eventually it all starts. I mean, just even read this. This is at the end of their cleanup after a big, long five, six, seven paragraphs telling you how they're going to do it. The liquid waste that has been poured onto the ground or held in ponds or trenches has long since evaporated or soaked into the soil on the site. Don't worry, it's just soaked into the soil on the site. It's not going anywhere. It's just right there. And in doing so, the waste did contaminate some of the soil and is thought to have created underground plumes of contaminants. A plume is a kind of like an underground river, where the contaminants join with the water that exists beneath the surface of the earth. Many of these plumes move in varying speeds and move towards the Columbia River. Hanford employees are actively involved in project design to prevent any more of the contamination from reaching the river. Several different strategies are being used in that effort. Can you believe it? You know what this says? This says that they know they have underground plumes. Wow. Moving at varying speeds. This is them cleaning it up. Seriously. One strategy is simply to block the groundwater contamination from getting to the Columbia. That's not really working. Various kinds of barriers are placed into the ground, which allows the clean groundwater to move through while chemically altering any harmful contamination into a non-toxic form as it passes through. So, wow. So they're telling us they're chemically changing the radioactive contaminants. No, they're not. They can't do that. At least with some of them, and for sure they can't do it with tritium. Another strategy is called pump and treat. Through this process, contaminated groundwater is pumped out of the ground and treated with chemicals. These chemicals serve to change the chemical makeup of the contaminants, you mean radioactive contaminants, which render them harmless to the environment. Yeah, like we believe you, bud. Once the treatment of the groundwater is complete, the cleansed water is pumped back into the ground. Great! Oh my God, do we hate these people? I mean, I make an effort not to hate people, but my blood boils when I read stuff like this. Yet another strategy in dealing with the groundwater contamination is called biostimulation. This is a new technology where crews pump materials like molasses and vegetable oil into the ground, where tiny microorganisms in the soil eat the molasses and vegetable oil. The microorganisms then reproduce, and in doing so, they alter the chemistry in the groundwater and render the contaminants harmless to the environment. This process also prevents the contamination from moving any closer to the river. That is the microbes' plan, and they're pouring molasses and vegetable oil. That's their stuff. That must be their simplified words. If they're not pouring real microbes on the ground there, I wonder, I'll have to get in touch with Chuck Hyman and find out if he knows if they're actually pouring real microbes or if they're just pouring molasses and vegetable oil on the ground. Because the molasses actually activates the micro. I know that when I pour my, when I make my mixture that I have dried granules that I was given from Charlotte Anthony, who was a guest on our show. She's a permaculturist. She gave me some dried granules, and when you put that together, you put it in a bucket of clear water with some granules and some molasses, and she says the molasses activates the microbes. So maybe this is their idea. Wow. These people are insane. They really I guess, what do you do when you know you've messed up so badly that you can't do anything? It's unbelievable. Seriously. Let's go back to the NRC alerts again. June 20th. I think I read you that one, right? On June 20th, was there any big disaster that they haven't told? Accident mitigation. Here we go. I'm telling you, we're barely missing disaster after disaster every day. Accident mitigation. Primary containment declared inoperable. Failure of drywall to suppress chamber vacuum breaker to fully close. So, you know, this is the problem with these things, man. If we have a problem, we have Rick Perry at the helm, folks. That is a scary thought. Rick Perry. People who think that Trump is not that bad, wait for a year and a half. Wait until afterwards. This is going to be a pretty serious thing. This is the thing. They're not going to tell us. We're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. I mean, they're telling families that a mosquito caused their Zika. I mean, that, you know, Zika caused their child's head to be born with no brain. The reality is, in all of the cases that I've looked into, all of those mothers live near a nuclear facility or a uranium mine. And so even the doctors in Brazil, this is why they stopped talking about it. The doctors in Brazil said, look, your Zika theory doesn't hold up here, because lots of people have had Zika. There were 1,800 cases of Zika or something like that. Well, I know, 4,000 of them, and 1,800 of them were women. The numbers were super small. But this is how they roll, man. This is we'll just keep on lying because we can. We might as well, because it doesn't matter. No one challenges us. Columbia Generating Station. Remember that other stuff, the broken parts that we were, no information on that. They have no idea. Sorry, just don't know. Just have no idea. There is an article that says closing Richmond would be a win for the taxpayers, but that has, you know, they've sort of decided that that's not going to happen. Sorry, we're not closing it down. They're definitely not closing it down. In fact, they are going to be digging in their heels as much as possible. That is for sure. They honestly don't care. The Tri-Cities nuclear power plant back on grid early. Did you know it was off? That's interesting. That was dated June 19, 2017. Uh-huh. And Seattle area customers can expect to pay more for electricity because of the Columbia Generating Station, folks. That's why, because they're losing $500 million a year. Oh, my gosh. Trump's budget proposes selling off BPA grid. Great. So that's, and actually that is probably where that legislation comes in from. That's probably why those Republicans did this. They knew that this was going on because there is a piece of legislation. Remember I talked to you about it the other day, the Nuclear Waste Act of 2017 it's in budget now. And actually we have to call all of our senators and we have to really call them and tell them, especially if you live in a Republican state, make sure you call them and tell them there's no way we want to sell our nuclear waste to private corporations. One of Trump's ideas to generate revenue is not sitting well with some Northwest utilities. The proposed budget includes a plan to sell off publicly owned transmission lines like the ones owned by Bonneville Power Administration. The BPA operates about three quarters of the high voltage transmission systems in its territory, including Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. Trump's administration wants to privatize. Here we go. We're talking Pinochet 101, man. This is exactly what Pinochet did. They came in office and shut down. They knocked you. When these Republicans say they are going to do this health care plan, they are going to do the health care plan. They are going to knock people off of Medicare. They do care about themselves only. They are going to get super rich, just like all of the Congress members, the whole parliament that patted Pinochet on the back. Pinochet didn't do it on his own. He had a lot of people who were behind him, and he didn't have it, you know, I mean, they weren't just intimidated by the militarized police. Let's just put it to you that way. The people in power got rich. The people in the Congress and in the parliament down there in Chile when Pinochet took over, when the CIA installed Chile, Pinochet in Chile. So this... talk about pushing my buttons. I'm sorry to go off on you folks, but this is just unbelievable. He wants to privatize most of BPA's transmission assets. It's a move that's been considered on and off for about 30 years. In years past, Northwest congressional delegates have fought the idea. So now we need to call Greg Walden, a big, huge neocon Republican, I think. Because he's always in on these Republican ideas. The administration said selling the BPA transmission assets could save about $4.9 billion over a decade. That's actually true, but you know what? Our country created this nuclear mess. We have a responsibility to clean it up and to maintain it, not just sell off our utilities to private corporations. This is unbelievable. Wow. The BPA is part of the Department of Energy. The budget proposal includes the sale of assets from two other federal power market administrations. Assets from two other power marketing administrations. Wow. The administration said power lines, towers, substations, and rights of way could be leased out to the private sector. Just like that bill that is going on, the Nuclear Act of 2000, the Nuclear Power Act of 2000, Nuclear Waste Act of 2017 takes away our water rights and our utility rights. That's what this is going to do. Take away our rights and gives it to private corporations. You want to talk about the days of Dickens? Maybe I should pull out my book on Dickens and start reading some of that so people can see what it was really like. Or maybe we'll just, you know, start talking to some people in Africa because they're living by the days of Dickens still. Wow, this is unbelievable. Ron Wyden said he would fight the misguided attempt. He said privatizing the BPA would increase costs for households and business. Public power customers in the Northwest have paid for the system, and their investment should not be put up for sale. Amen to you, man. That is, these are just so outrageous. Wow. Let's look at the Tri-Cities. Big picture of a nuclear facility, a huge turbine at the Columbia Generating Station. This was, what is the date of this? June 19th. Tri-Cities nuclear power plant back on the grid early. So I think what it had was its planned refueling and maintenance schedule. So for 9 days, it was on. We just read that it was going down for a maintenance on June 9. So June 19th, 10 days later, they're back up and running. which meant for the last 10 days, everybody up there was at risk of being highly exposed. And frankly, everybody across Idaho has been exposed because that's the first line of fire. Unbelievable. Well, I brought in my book, Poison Power, and I wanted to poke around on it because people need to read this book. If you have not read Poison Power by John Goffman, please get it. You can find it pretty easily at a used bookstore. I've got this current copy. I buy them all the time to send out to people. So this is the thing. Chapter 12, the title of the chapter says, Towards an Adversary System of Scientific Inquiry. This is where we are right now. We are in an adversarial point of view with science. And it's because they want profit more than they want truth. And if we are going to get the truth out of any of these industries, we have to get science out of corporate control. Yesterday Maya was saying that she didn't believe anything should be controlled by the government. I 100% disagree with her completely. I think that we have to have some commons, some things that we pay for as taxpayers, public education, taking care of the elderly, taking care of the poor, building our roads, building our infrastructure, dealing with nuclear waste now, because nuclear waste is going to be on our shoulders for the next however long humanity exists. Because we don't have an option. It's not like, unless we can put, you know, microbes on the entire planet in mega amounts, who knows, maybe that will actually work. Maybe someone will actually do that. You know, but, you know, we have a responsibility. I mean, we say we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, chapter 13 says the ultimate issue, conversion or ecocide. Are we either going to get off of nuclear power, or are we going to decide that we want to live? Because what they're doing is they're coming up with it as a long-term solution. And as we saw, they are going to build these SMRs. As the man in the democracy school said, we have to reconsider what we call a win these days when we're looking at the long-term picture. So this fight about just getting them to be honest. Honestly, they're super brainwashed. Donald Trump actually believes it's safe to sell. I mean, we have a president who believes it is safe to sell our power grid to private industry, folks. He thinks it's safe to sell our nuclear waste to private industry. They've encouraged this legislation. Yesterday's speech, he said, we're going all in. Nuclear is our future. Nuclear is not our future, because if nuclear is our future, we're dead. Maybe that's what he means anyways. Maybe he knows we're dead anyways. This is unbelievable. So the Northwest Energy Coalition said that the divesting from BPA's transmission assets would fragment the Northwest energy system. This is just unbelievable. Does Donald Trump actually know no boundaries of the harm that he can create? You know, I watched him in the speech yesterday, and he's like, people say I'm a bad guy. Am I a bad guy? Huh? No, he's not a bad guy. He just doesn't think things through and make wise decisions. He's bankrupted 4 times. Only you can't do that with nuclear waste. You can't do that with people's lives and call yourself a good guy. It's like that conversation about, is there good cops and bad cops? At this point, they're all bad cops, in my view. There's not a good cop out there. And if you want to call me and talk about that, we can. But I don't believe there's any good cops. Because if there was any good cops, they would stand up for ethics and integrity against the racism that they know they hear inside the walls of their station every day. They would stand up to the bad cops. They would stand up to the bad system. They would not allow their partners, like that partner who watched the man murder those, that Philandro Castillo, I think that's his name. That cop that murdered him, he had a partner. If you watch the video, his partner jumped back and grabbed his heart. He's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And yet did that cop, I guarantee you, that cop's still on the force, allowing this other man who, oh, by the way, they fired him the day after he was declared innocent. But until he was declared innocent, they stuck by their man. That's my point. Same thing with Donald Trump. We're sticking by abusers, folks. It's time for America to leave the abusers. It is time. And it all started with nuclear energy. Nuclear energy causes global warming from Global Research, Center for Research on Globalization. This story was written July 23rd, 2010. 2010, the year before Fukushima, almost a year before Fukushima, this came out. Now, do you think that Fukushima is not helping us? Okay, so let's just read what it says. One thing about energy, once it's released, it never goes away. It can never be destroyed. This is the perfect rule with which everyone agrees. It's actually called the law, the first law of thermodynamics. After we use it, such as when I have finished moving my fingers typing this sentence. So what does this have to do with nuclear power and global warming? So this guy is taking us through this whole long thing. Coal, oil, natural gas also released waste heat when burned. Because many people already know this is just one article because people about it. It helps cause nuclear energy. It's causing global warming, just like the hydrocarbons from fossil fuel and all this stuff. I don't know, folks. Hydrocarbons produce CO2. Businessmen and their agents who back hydrocarbons stand to lose a great deal of money and power if CO2 elimination is made a top priority. The other side has its own investors who stand to profit from promoting nuclear power in competition with coal, oil, and natural gas sources, and also by selling CO2 reduction technologies. There are also military and political reasons for nuclear promotion. Military and political reasons. That's such a vague. Now, this is the thing. This came out right before Fukushima happened. And when Fukushima happened, you would have thought that 350.org or one of those big, you know, James Hansen folks, who, by the way, probably himself has a lot to profit from by denying that nuclear causes harm. It's unbelievable. I'm actually speechless to read that this article was written in 2010. I thought it was a much more new current article. Fukushima is a disaster that is still ongoing, folks. Just like Hanford. We're reading about Hanford. Do you think that Hanford, these plumes that they're putting into the Columbia River, they literally are telling us this right on their own website. Right on their own website. It's not like they're hiding it. If they're hiding it in plain sight because nobody's looking. If there's a nuclear power facility near you, I 100% strongly suggest that you go find yourself for yourself. Go to the, type in the name of the nuclear power facility, go to the website, and just type in the search bar when you get to the website, leaks. Or look at their, they have a page where they will actually tell you what they're doing. And you can find out for yourself what they're not telling you in your own area. Because especially east of the Mississippi, there are a bunch of really, really terrible leaking nuclear power facilities. Two in Illinois that we know of for sure that the NDRC helped keep open. Indian, Turkey Point, Indian Hill, Turkey Point, Oyster Creek has leaks. Zion is a closed nuclear facility, but it's on the Great Lakes, right? But even though it's closed, it still is a catastrophe. It still has mountains of waste there. I mean, we have mountains of waste all over this country, and they are not going to tell us. So the point of this is for you to go do a little bit of your own research. Start digging in your own backyard. And for those of you that live in Texas and think you don't have anything, Texas is highly contaminated. So dig around. Dig in your own area and figure out what's going on. And find the groups in your area who are actively engaging in getting the truth out. Because I have discovered that on almost every single community, there are people who are making an effort to stop it, like Donna Gilmore, like the people, Angela Bishkoff. I haven't connected with Angela yet. We've talked about getting her on. There's a lot of people that I've talked to in the last month and a half, people who said, you should talk to so-and-so and you should get so-and-so on. I've made first efforts to reach them. We haven't really scheduled an appointment, and mostly because I had finals and I wanted to get good grades. So that's the way it is. So we have about 4 minutes left. I want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to our show, for sharing our show with your friends and family. You can find us on TuneIn Radio Live every, I guess it's now Tuesday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, I suppose. It's going to be Monday through Thursday. And Barry Prince will be on Friday. And his first guest tomorrow is going to be from the Leak Project, leakproject.com. So he will be here first thing in the morning. I hope you enjoy his show because you've heard him. He's been a wonderful guest and he's very clear and he has very strong ideas and opinions, which I guess we all need, you know. God bless them and God bless all of us. And we can learn a lot from this. So this is the thing. The idea is for us to empower each other with knowledge because knowledge is power. And once we begin to embrace that fact, it doesn't become so scary once you face it. So this is why I say if you dread finding out what contaminants are in your environment, don't dread it. Embrace it because you live there. It's there anyways. But it's better to know what it is and what you're dealing with because then you can figure out what kind of supplements, like, you know, you might actually really need to be taking charcoal every day or drinking clay every day. If you live in a highly contaminated area, you might want to be drinking clay every single day and really have a different kind of a lifestyle in terms of what you consume. It really does matter how you react to these things on what you eat and how you consume. So I want to encourage you to take action, especially contact CELDF, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund.org. Please get active and get your community rights going. The process is about a year to a year and a half. You have to get enough names and petitions. The people at CELDF will help you and train you, and that's their job. And they're a nonprofit. I honestly think that this is our way out, our only way out. So please do put your courage feet on. And I mean, put your courage feet on and start walking. Don't just say, I'm going to be brave. Somebody said, well, thank you for having the courage to talk about our community rights. I thought that's sad. We have to have courage to talk about our rights. But I guess we do. I hope you enjoy Barry's show tomorrow, you guys. We'll talk to you on Monday. Take some action, CELDF.org.